Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome, joining us by telephone, John Turturro. He is the wonderful actor and director. His new film, Passione, opens today at the Screen here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, thank you for having me, Mary Charlotte.
So your film is kind of a documentary. It's a musical exploration of the city of Naples. You call it a musical adventure. How did you get involved in the subject of Naples and its music?
Well, I had worked in Naples in the theater. I had worked with a wonderful Neapolitan director, Francesco Rosi. I did a adaptation of a Primo Levi book many years ago called The Truce, La Tregua, is the Italian title. And he introduced me to, you know, many Neapolitan specialties, whether it be food or cinema or music, and which I was aware of some of them. But he introduced me to a writer, Eduardo Di Filippo, and I did a play of his in New York, and then we did it there. And my last film, Romance and Cigarettes, had done very well in Italy, and so we had a good distributor, and I was invited a couple years later because that had a lot to do with music. They wanted to make a sort of Buena Vista Social Club type of film about Napoli, and they asked me if I'd be interested, and I said, well, I would need someone to work with for a while, and they introduced me to this musicologist, and he's a journalist also, Federico Vacalebre, and for about 2 years I basically just listened to music that he sent me, and we discussed what songs we would like to try to capture, depending on what our budget would be, and then we did it.
The film opens with a number that sounds kind of like flamenco, and listening to the music, I watched this film and listened to it, and there are pieces that sound like fado, like bolero, like Latin pop. Even there was a song that kind of reminded me of Brazilian music. How far back do the roots of these different sounds go in Neapolitan music?
It's probably it's one of the oldest cities in the world, so it's kind of like the granddaddy to, you know, Havana, Rio, New Orleans. It's, you know, it was a Greek city, then Romans, and there was the Spanish rule there for a long time. In actual, the language of Neapolitan, it's more of a language than a dialect. There's a lot of Spanish vernacular and French, too. But the Normans were there, the Arabs, there's Northern African influence. So it's always been there, and maybe it's been more brought to the forefront in the last maybe 100 years. But there's, you know, Renaissance music, too, which you can hear different influence also in. But we cover music. I mean, listen, I was trying to make an entertaining film, so I cover music from 1300 to now. And we don't go as in-depth into the classical vernacular, which is huge there, and opera. But I kind of concentrated more on the popular songs, but there's a real relationship between classical and popular music. They've exchanged ideas, and classical composers have written, you know, popular songs, and so have classical singers sung those songs over the years. But it's, I mean, their jukebox is enormous, and it's a melting pot, you know, city. It's a port, and it was the capital of the kingdom of the Two Sicilies. It was one of the cultural capitals of Europe. For, you know, in the 1700s, 1800s, you know, people used to go there to study music. They invented the mandolin, they invented the guitar.
Right, right. There's a quotation that one of the speakers in your film says. He says the music of Naples goes back to the year 1200, and until 1950, the music was, as he says, quote, chosen by the people. What did he mean by that?
What he meant by that was exactly what we're doing right now. You know, there was no radio. There were no records. So people, for a long time, well, in 1950 there was, but, you know, for hundreds of years, a song traveled by people listening to that song, then being able to pick it up and play it. And then once, you know, records were pressed, and those guys that we were talking to, the Esposito brothers, their grandfather pressed the first records in Naples, and that's where actually Caruso, you know, recorded. But basically, it was a habit that, you know, people would listen to songs. They could also play music, and that's how the songs would become popular. And that was before, you know, radio stations or record companies became more powerful and sort of controlled more or less what people heard. And that's what he was, I think, referring to.
You have some footage in the film of what seems like ordinary people singing in the street. Some of them are amazing. What is the musical expression like among regular Neapolitans who aren't professional musicians?
I mean, everybody, you know, music, as in many cultures, many Latin cultures, I would say, is an essential part of their, you know, everyday experience. And I think when people have more struggles and they have to improvise through the day, which is sort of the art of improvisation, is the art of the poor, you know, the music becomes a big part of that, of being able to express the human condition that they're living in every day. So it's not very hard to get people to sing or to dance. They really love music there, all kinds of music. They have, you know, rap now and neo-melodic and all kinds of things. But, you know, I tried to choose, you know, interesting songs, and then we did a lot of new arrangements, obviously, of songs that were 100 years old, but they sound like a modern song now. Yeah, if you sing a few bars of a song, someone most likely will come and finish it for you.
Right.
Yeah, but it's really, you know, it's a real, you really feel these all the different cultures there, and you certainly feel the Latin influence there, obviously.
It was kind of amazing to me that in this cosmopolitan city, which, as you say, has been, you know, conquered and reconquered, and so many different language and cultural groups have lived there over many centuries, and the people are, I mean, they have, I guess, some kind of Neapolitan identity, but also this great cultural diversity that expresses itself in music, that there is still a kind of nasty racism.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
No, that there is still this kind of racism. I mean, one of your speakers, who is half Italian, half African-American, talks about being really, really brutalized when he was a kid.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, that goes in all places. They themselves, the Neapolitans themselves, you know, are looked down upon by the Northerners in their own country.
Right.
So obviously, you know, it exists, you know, and obviously he is talked about it, and he also has, you know, a lot of friends, too, that he grew up with, but he also, you know, experienced that firsthand, too. And, you know, it's even in a multicultural city, you have that. And they themselves, you know, are, you know, dumped on by the northern parts and the stronger parts of, you know, of the country. You know, right now they have their own challenges there. But yes, that exists. That exists in all places, even within the same group.
Right. It's,
so, you know,
there's
no, you know, perfect place, you know, in the world. What's interesting about cities like this, and this particular city, is it's so specific. What it is, but at the same time there's this universality, because there is this mixture and there's this energy that pulses right out of the ground. I mean, it's a city that's set, you know, on the sea, and there's the volcano there. So they've had these volcanic eruptions, and they've had earthquakes, and they've had invasions. So people live with a sense of, you know, death is a part of their everyday experience, and maybe that's why they kind of, you know, slough it off and they say, well, let's just try to make the best of the day. And, you know, you definitely hear people laughing all the time because they kind of, you know, have to. And, you know, it's one of those places that reminds you what it is to be, you know, a human being.
There was one piece in the film that was, probably more than one, I'm not sure, but some of the music had its roots in ritual music to ward off evil spirits, and it's played on what look like old wine barrels. Are these still living traditions?
Yeah, well, people—that's Enzo Avitabile, and that's Batari. Those are big, you know, wooden barrels that people used to hit, you know, to ward off the spirits and to have a good harvest. So yes, the ancient music, there are still groups who do ancient music, absolutely, and some of them are popular. And this guy who did it, he's worked with all, you know, fabulous musicians, James Brown, Lionel Richie, and he's done rock and roll and jazz, and he's become interested, you know, in this music, and he's, you know, working on sort of, you know, making it popular again, and he's got quite a good album, you know, using these instruments. And he's kind of a world-renowned saxophone player, Enzo Avitabile. But yes, there are groups who do that. There are groups who do more classical things, or more, you know, pop, and or more, what you say, you know, kind of rap, reggae. So the language is diverse, the musical language. Yes, there are groups who use those instruments.
We're talking to John Turturro about his new film, Passione, which is opening here today in Santa Fe at The Screen. Now, the performers in your film, are they household names in Naples?
Oh, well, you know, not all of them. I mean, one of the singers, which you mentioned, Fado, is a Fado singer, Mizia, and she's from Portugal, but she works in Naples a lot and lives there. Some of them are a well, you know, known, Massimo Ranieri, James Senese. The black saxophone player is well known, but some are new. Mbarka Bentalab, she's Tunisian, but she's lived in Naples for like 25 years. She's now striking out on her own. Some are popular in the south. Pietro Montecorvino, Raiz, he's pretty, you know, popular. Yes, so there's all different levels of them. Some are just, you know, being discovered. Gennaro Cosmo Parlato. The guy who does Maruzzella, and obviously Fiorello, the guy who does Caravan Patrol, he's a huge comic and slash singer there. So it's diverse. Yeah, I wanted to have all different kinds of people, you know, if they were available to do the film. But I tried to choose interesting, and Beppe Bada, who does Tama Morietta Nera and Don Rafe, he's really, you know, wonderful person. You know, he has a big reputation in the theater and as a singer performer. But he was in a very popular group many years ago called NCCP, Novo Canto Compagnia Popolare, and they were a group that popularized old folk music, but in a very kind of, you know, hard driving, you know, primitive way. And he's someone, you know, I'm a huge fan of. So it's a great group of people. It's one of the most talented groups of people I've ever been around, by far.
There is a tradition of acting out stories through songs, and there's a funny story about how that arose.
In what story are you?
The one where basically actors and singers.
Oh, right. Well, they actually invented. The word is sceneggiata, which is they invented, you know, building a story around the song, because singers, which I explained in the film, were taxed 3% more than actors. And the singers got fed up with that, and they said, well, why don't we just make a story around the song, and then we'll be considered actors, which is it's a real Neapolitan solution to the problem. And so they did this, and it became a phenomenon in the theater, you know, maybe in like 30-minute venues, and then they elongated that. There are many films that are built around the title of a song, even if the song is barely sung in the film. And so this idea of a music video, you know, that's once again, that's like something they were way ahead of the curve with.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what's really interesting about the film is that you're not watching just singers. You're really watching great storytellers who are actors. And that's what I was really taken with when I watched, you know, the when I was filming them, how they could sustain the song, you know, in an intimate setting, sometimes without a lot of cuts and everything, because, you know, the music seemed to come right out of the ground. And their approach is not one of, oh, I'm so great, sort of a narcissistic celebration about, you know, which you see in many singers, even singers with great voices. And theirs is just, they just give it away, and in a very uninhibited manner, unconscious manner. And I was really, really moved by that. 'Cause that's hard to see nowadays, 'cause
yeah.
People are so self-conscious.
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons so many Americans turn to music of other countries, because they're looking for that kind of non-egoic expression.
That's right. You know, when you remove the ego from it, all of a sudden it becomes, there's a connection between the listener, you know, and the singer. And there's this communication that goes way beyond that.
And I notice also in the kind of music videos that were in your film, there was not so much emphasis on the beautiful young lady. It was really people of all ages and all looks.
Yeah, well, I have a big thing about that, actually, because I think, you know, it's great to see 20-year-old men and women in a movie. And most of the time you see, you know, 25-year-old young women in films. But they're all different kinds of beauty and at all different ages. And also, you know, when you have a woman singing a love song and she's 50 years old and she looks really good at 50 years old, she also knows what she's talking about or what she's singing about. You know, she understands that experience. The younger singer, it's just sound.
Right.
You know, that's what it is. It may be a nice sound, but it's sound. You know, that interests me, because life isn't over when you're past 25.
Yeah, and it seems like the rest of the world understands that better than we do in a lot of ways.
I think we have kind of a junior high school mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
I really do. And I actually don't find it very sensual either, actually, because there's something human that's removed from that.
Yeah, and that intergenerational kind of togetherness. There's this one, it's just a little tiny moment of the film, but there's this one moment where a young man is dancing with what must be his mother, I guess, and they're just doing a little Italian dance, and they look so happy.
Yeah. They are. I mean, I really, the spirit of the film, you know, that's not manipulated. That's the spirit which we made it. And, I mean, I myself was so happy just being around those people, you know, because they don't have a lot. And yet, you know, they seem, you know, they can enjoy the day.
Now, your cultural roots through your parents are in southern Italy and Sicily. And I was wondering how the culture and music of Naples compared to what you knew as an Italian-American growing up in New York City.
Well, you know, do you have Sicilian background?
Yeah, my dad was Sicilian-American
New
York.
Well, my mother's was Sicilian, too. So, you know, when I've worked in Sicily, and when I heard Sicilian music later on, you know, earlier in my life, I would hear those kind of, you know, the typical, you know, love songs that made it over here and were turned into a certain kind of style of singing. But then later on, I was introduced to Sicilian music, and I was blown away about how, you know, how Arabic sounding it was. And in my first film, Mac, I used a lot of these old Sicilian songs. Some of them were fisherman songs. I like, you know, music that's. I'm a big fan of Alan Lomax, and I have all those recordings and everything. So there's a connection, that obviously, to Naples. I think the Sicilian background is a little bit, I would say, more reserved initially than the Neapolitans. The Neapolitans are a little more out there than the Sicilians. But once you get past the reserve of the Sicilians, then there's a similarity. You know, it's not very far from that. And my mother was a very musical person, and her brothers were musicians, and she was a singer, and so I kind of felt like there was a real connection there. And it was the capital of the kingdom of the two Sicilies, Naples. So it's just it's different. They're a little, you know, maybe more overtly theatrical there, but you know, over the course of history, if you look at lots of wonderful directors and actors that came from Italy, many of them are from those two places. Many.
John Turturro's new film is called Passione. It opens today at the Screen here in Santa Fe. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, and I hope everyone goes out to look at the movie, because I think they'll really enjoy it.
And we're going to go out with a track from the soundtrack to Passione.